I want to talk about barrier that hits, I think, every Christian in life, okay? I don't think you can live this life and not have issues, problems. I don't think you can live this life and not be or ever be hurt in some way, okay? I think if we try to live life free from hurts and pains and wounds, we're going to be greatly disappointed. And sometimes we are. Sometimes we're greatly disappointed because sometimes we'll ask God, God, why did that happen to me? Almost like it could happen to somebody else, but not me. Why did that happen to me? Or why could that happen to me? And sometimes it's very painful. I get that because sometimes there's things in life that really are hard to deal with. And yet God is still good in the midst of all that. This is what God, Bible says about who God is. We're going to start in Psalm 147. Psalm 147, speaking about God, it says, He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. It speaks about God and who He is. God is our healer. He is our healer. And not just physical issues, because sometimes, you know, we'll think about that. And we'll think, well, God heals physical diseases and ailments and those type of things. But God gets to the core of our being. He doesn't stop just on the outside or what's necessarily flowing in our blood or our tissues. He goes all the way to the depth of the core of our being. Because if there's brokenness there, God is our healer. He is the one who mends wounds. He's the mender of our souls. And it is the case that, you know, we have wounds that we don't see, right? Not just like the cuts on the outside or the bruises that we can see. We can see, you know, the colored marks of the bruises. These are things we don't see. But you know what? There are things that we feel in life that's brokenness, that are wounds on the inside, things that nobody sees, but they're there. And things that we try to hide in life too. Well, we try to hide how we feel sometimes about ourselves or feel about others. But those wounds are there. They can affect our everyday life. And that's true. They can affect our everyday life and how we live. I want to look this morning just as kind of a case study, probably someone you've read many times. But Jesus encounters a woman in John chapter 4. It's the woman at the well. And this woman has brokenness. She has some things that are deep wounds in her life. And I want to just read about her story. In some ways, I feel like I'm not going to read the full, but I'm going to read a good bit of the portion of the story. So let's pick up in verse 5 when Jesus comes to the town in Samaria called Sychar. And this is where the plot of ground where Jacob has given to his son Joseph. Yeah, so this has historic going back to the forefathers of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So it has a deep meaning for the people of God. But now it's the Samaritans who are living here in this part of Israel. So Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired. He was journeying back to Galilee from Judea. He was going back through, and he was going through Samaria. So Jesus was tired. And as from his journey, and he sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food, so he was alone. It was just him by the well and this woman. All right, next slide. Okay. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can we get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, Go. Go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. We're going to stop there because the story continues. Oh, there's more. There's a lot that we could unpack here, but we've got to choose today what we're going to unpack. And I want to talk about this woman at the well, this Samaritan woman who has a lot of wounds in her heart. Jesus talks to the woman at the well, and they're not supposed to. Jews and Samaritans are really not supposed to associate. And there's even one footnote in the scriptures that says to share like the same water pot or something to drink from, like you would not share. You would not share utensils or anything like that. If you were a Jew and you were a Samaritan, that would not be part of that, not associating with each other. Is you wouldn't share a common table with common utensils. So this was breaking the social rules of the day. Jesus talking to this Samaritan woman, and she's a little bit shocked, like, you're addressing me? You're talking to me? Why are you doing that? Yet Jesus, we know, has a purpose. Anything that Jesus does, he has a purpose in what he does, and he's there alone. The disciples are in getting food, and he's there, almost really waiting for her. Now, this moment, you know, Jesus actually is thirsty. He does need natural water, but she needs another kind of water, and that's what Jesus is there to offer her, water for her soul. And I want to look a little closer at this woman at the well. You know, this woman labors daily to get water. That was her job. That was really women's job to get water. Go to the well, get this big, heavy water buckets, and carry them back to the town, to their homes, and then do all sorts of things from cooking to cleaning to for drinking water. And so she labors daily, and it's heavy work, and she's grown tired of this work. She even says so. She's grown tired of this work. And she's there at noon. It's interesting, in the heat of the day. There's a few inferences we can make about her, and then we can just look deeper into the word. We can probably expect that this woman is not a young woman. Just listening to her life, she's had five husbands, and now with a man who's not her husband, she's probably not a young woman. And even if she could be young in years, she's not young at heart anymore. Because if you could imagine a life where you've been abandoned by five men, either by death or divorce, can you imagine the hardships of losing your spouse through death or divorce five times? I think this could add many, many weary years to your life. So she's not a young woman. We also can infer that she was unwanted by some people in her town. And she was unwanted and probably, honestly, avoiding people because she's coming alone. You know, women oftentimes would go out to get the water in the cool of the day when it wasn't so hot. Why go at noon when it's hot? Why don't you go when it's like 8 in the morning or a time when it's cooler? And other women would have done that, in fact. And she could have joined them, right? She could have just joined with other women. But there's something she's avoiding there. So she goes alone at noon, which just makes her work harder and more difficult. But since her presence probably was not so welcomed by the other women, and maybe that looks a little bit like the women kind of gossiping about her, maybe. Maybe saying some things that were not kind about her. Maybe she heard a few too many comments by some other women that were like, you know, I just don't want to be around them. I don't like the way they look at me. I don't like the disrespect I'm getting from them. It doesn't feel good, and it constantly reminds me that my life has not gone so well. And there's a lot of hurts and pains there. And because of the pain, I'd just rather suffer alone. I'd just rather go in the noon of the day, be by myself, and not be reminded by some others that there's pain in my life. Have you ever been around those who disdain you? Have you been around people who you know are gossiping about you? It's painful. It hurts. And you kind of wonder sometimes, why do they have something against me? What is it that they can't seem to let go? People who don't dislike you or treat you poorly or just don't have respect for you. You really don't want to be in their presence, right? You don't want to be in people's presence who don't care for you. You know, this can create a wound or perpetuate a deep hurt in life. You know, this woman at the well, she did not have the ability to leave her city and go to a new city and start over, like in our modern life. We could just start over in a new city, start over a new life somewhere else. We can do that. Because, you know, sometimes sticking around the old places just remind us of the old hurts. But even if she could start over and rid herself of those reminders that she sees every day, that brokenness would still be within. It still would be within her. If the same is for us. If we could go to a new country or a new city or a new place, you know, it's fine. How about a new relationship, a new this, a new that? We could start over and maybe that would be fresh and new. But if we still have the brokenness within us, it's there wherever we go. We can't run away from it until it has been healed. So this is what Jesus talks to her about. Jesus talks to her about living water. Well, she doesn't know about living water. In fact, she's wondering, where is this water that you're talking about? We have the well of Jacob, and it's pretty good water. Our ancestors dug this cistern, dug this well, that we draw water and have been doing so for hundreds of years. How is your water any better? She didn't know about living water. She doesn't understand what's so special about this water. But Jesus says that this water is life-changing water. The kind that will bring healing to her soul. That life would flow within her, would rise up and flow within her. And it's the kind that only Jesus could give her. But when she heard about this water, her response was good. Yeah, give me this water. I want it. I don't want to be thirsty again. And her reason then became very common. I don't want to be thirsty again. And if it will decrease my labor that I don't have to come out to this well every day at noon, I'm all for it. So her reason was common. I just would love to have a less burden in my life. Wouldn't that be awesome? Just less burden in life. Wouldn't we all just want less burden in life? God, if you could just do that for me, I just want less burden. Sometimes we believe that. Sometimes we believe if we just get over the hill, life will be better. If we just get to retirement, life will be smooth. If we could just get beyond this issue or whatever it is, Then life will be good. But it doesn't always turn out that way. We always want an ease to our burden. We want it easier in life. But you know, Jesus is less concerned about easing her physical burden. And Jesus is much more concerned about her inner brokenness. Because that's what he's speaking to. He is speaking to her inner brokenness, not the fact that she has to carry water every day and she chooses to come at noon. Jesus knows the brokenness of this woman and he calls out her story. He calls it out. He lets nothing be hidden. He knows all about her brokenness and he speaks about this living water for her because it is for her and it is for her brokenness. You know, God knows the crippling effect of what brokenness creates in our life. He knows. He knows that it's crippling. It's hard to live when you're hurt on the inside. It's hard to truly live, I should say, to live abundantly, to live blessed. But sometimes the reality is, in this life, we choose to be crippled over being whole. We choose. We make actually these choices. And it has something to do with dealing with the pain. And I don't like that, and you don't like that. Nobody likes pain. Does anybody like pain? Do you like pain? Nobody likes pain. Have you ever seen a child who gets a splinter in their toe? You know, a nice little splinter that sticks out and it caused a lot of pain going in, and now you can't even walk on it, that toe it is, because every time you walk on it, that splinter is moving and it's sticking inside and it hurts. We've experienced this personally, but do you know what happens? And I know every mom and every dad knows this. But do you know what it's like when you go and say, "Well, sweetie, I got the tweezers. Just sit right here and let me pull that thing out." You know the reaction. But mom, but that's going to hurt. Yes, it's going to hurt for a moment. It is. Because we're going to pull that splinter out and we're going to put some Neosporin. But Neosporin, that's going to sting. Yes, it's going to sting. There's going to be a pain for a moment. But then, you know what? It's going to get better. I've seen it and you've seen it where that child just kind of wants to say, well, wait, don't do it. Don't do it now. And we'll try to put off the moment of pulling that splinter out. And I know sometimes the splinter doesn't come easy, so you have to dig in there. You have to dig into the skin. Mom, it hurts. I know, sweetie, but we got to get it out. Because if we don't get it out, an infection might set in. You see, we know, right? We know about those things. And the children can hear that and they can say, well, that makes sense, but I don't like it. And I don't want you to dig in and cause pain. So we see that with kids, yeah, sometimes they'd almost rather live with it if they can. So we can be like children too, can't we? Maybe not with splinters, but maybe with other things, and maybe with things that are very personal in our lives. We can be like this too. We can be afraid that the healing will cause hurt, that the process to healing will cause hurt that we don't want to feel, and we'd rather maybe just see if we can live with it. That splinter in our toe, or whatever it may be, that's caused an injury in us. But there's two problems here. There's two great problems. There probably are more, but I saw two problems. And one is simply this, is if you do that, if you choose to do not go the pathway of healing to get the wounds dealt with, you know, you'll never experience what God intends for your life. You won't. Because if you are just a walking wounded, you'll never experience God's fullness for your life. You'll always be wounded. And the second thing is if you're always wounded, your identity is going to start surrounding your woundedness. And you're going to be the wounded person. You're going to be the hurt person. You're going to be the person with issues, because that's what your life is going to become. You're going to become the person who has the hobbling of injury or whatever it may be. And that begins to become an identity for you or for me or for whoever. But when that becomes your identity, it's hard to see yourself as victorious in Christ Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We need to see ourselves this way. We need to see that the cross is a sign, yes, of death and resurrection, but it's also a sign of victory. And so for us to be victorious, we need to see ourselves as such. We need to see ourselves not necessarily even as we are now, because what we may be right now is wounded. What we may be right now is hurt. But we need to be able to see ourselves as God sees us. God sees us as whole. He sees us as blessed and free from all hurts and wounds. So our identity is not the wounded one. Our identity is whole in Christ. That's who we are. We need to see ourselves as overcomers, that we're the head, not the tail, as the blessing is in Deuteronomy. That's who we are. We're walking with Jesus, and we're walking out our healing. It's also this is true, I believe very much. It's hard to defeat the devil in our lives when we accept our life as wounded. When the devil always has an open door to remind us that our identity is not healed, our identity is wounded. And he'll remind us. He'll tell us things like, you know what? You're not so good. Or you're damaged goods. Or who really cares for you? Did you see how that person just treated you? Did you see the person who just gossiped about you? Well, that's just because maybe you deserved it. Who really cares for you? I mean, the devil is evil and wicked. And if you've got a wound, he'll stick his finger in it. Not to heal, but to hurt. And just to remind you that you're wounded. Remember back when? Well, nothing's changed. Nothing's different. You're still that person. He just wants to touch a nerve that really hurts and goes deep. You'll know because the pain will rise up again. The enemy wants us to have festering wounds. He wants us to have festering wounds because if you get healed, you'll be strong and you'll be whole. And you will be someone who will do damage to his kingdom. Because, you know, people who help heal other people are people who know healing themselves. Because the very healing that you've received from Christ, you can testify of this. And you can speak, no, I can tell you that Christ can heal you because I have been healed by Christ myself. Well, the devil doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to become a healer because Christ the healer has worked in you and now through you. He doesn't want that. He would rather keep you in cycles of dysfunction. You've probably heard this too. Wounded people also hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And sometimes out of the wounds, we sometimes treat people less than we would even want to. Less than we would want to. And sometimes we go, why did I get so angry at that person? Why did I get so upset? Why did I blow up at that person? Because maybe it touched a nerve. Maybe a nerve got touched that just became an expression of the hurt. There's something called, and this is a real thing, and I had to learn about this, but it's called a proud flesh wound. Now, some of you may know about this if you're into medical or medicine or whatnot, but a proud flesh wound. Now, this is especially known in horses, okay? And let me just read this. It says, proud flesh. Proud flesh, also known as hypergranulation tissue, occurs when granulation tissue grows excessively and protrudes above the wound surface, preventing proper skin closure. So it's like the wound protrudes on the outside, begins to grow on the outside, so the skin cannot close in. This is something that happens with horses, and also with humans, though. Also with humans. But horse owners hate to see this in their horses because they know that this will not heal on its own. It won't heal on its own, and it needs special care, special attention in order for it to heal. And it's hard to heal. I think we have some pictures to show you some wounds that are called the proud flesh wound. This is a horse. And it just showing you a timeline of the proud flesh wound as it's actually getting worse and worse and worse. Without treatment, not only will it not heal, but yes, it can get worse and worse and worse. So the next slide, it's just again, a flesh wound that will not heal on its own. And then again, the next one. This is just showing Quincy, the horse, having a proud flesh wound. And this is someone who's been treated. The wound is being treated, and I don't know anything about the technology, but just showing you the days that pass and the process of healing, being treated every day for 81 days. So it's not an easy wound to treat. It's not an easy wound to heal, and it needs special treatment, special attention, special bandaging, special ointments in order to heal. Because they won't heal by themselves. Sometimes that's the way it is. Some things will not heal. Because whatever's causing the infection has to be dealt with. Okay, we're good with that. Yeah. I'm sure you don't want to sit there and continue to watch those flesh wounds. But think of this wound on the inside of people. In the inside of your own heart, your own soul. Until you get to the root of the cause of the injury, until you really deal with it, the injury, the wound is not healing. It won't heal on its own. Time won't heal. You see, that's something that people say, time will heal, but time doesn't heal all things. And some things won't even scab over, like the proud flesh. It won't even scab over. It will just remain an open wound until it has a special treatment. So if left alone, these wounds will persist. And in fact, if they're ignored, to try to push the problem down the road, oftentimes it really becomes worse. And that's how it is in life. Sometimes we will just push things down the road. We'll try to hide things. We'll try to, you know, maybe put a bandage so we just don't see it. But if we just push it down the road, oftentimes the problem persists and the problem even grows worse. And this is certainly true about the human soul. You know, there's things that can happen to you as a child that can still be sabotaging your adult years. There are things that people live in, and it's literally like someone who is crippled in their soul. I mean, you would think it's funny if someone was hobbling around with a stick sticking out of their leg, and you would just say, well, just pull the stick out and go to the doctor and get medicine and get, you know, get it healed, and then you can walk normal, and every time you step, you won't be hurting. But some people choose to be hobbled all their lives and just manage the pain. God has something so much more for us than just managing the pain. God wants to see us healed and even have where we see ourselves healed. Now, what is it like when the inward pain is healed? When all the fear is gone, when the trauma is no longer there. You know, there's Christians who have PTSD because of trauma. And it's not from war, but it's from life. What is it like when all the fear is gone and the anxiety no longer creeps in? What is life like? Can we imagine ourselves, right? If we experience that, can we imagine ourselves whole, healed, healthy? That there's a new existence, not as a wounded person, but as a healed person. That's where God wants to take us, where our festering wounds heal. And when they heal, instead of a wound, there's a scar. And one thing I know about scars, when things properly heal and there's a scar left, the scar can be touched. You can touch a scar, and it doesn't hurt. The scar will always remind you that, yes, you had a wound. Yes, there was something that happened to you. And it will always remind you, but if you have a scar where something has truly healed, you can touch it. It doesn't hurt. And you may be reminded of what happened, but now it doesn't cause pain anymore. The pain is gone. And now it can become a testimony of your healing. You know, God is okay with scars. He had some, by the way. He had some scars. And his scars testify to his brokenness that he experienced. You know, Isaiah 53:5. I'm just going to jump to that verse. Isaiah 53:5, he says this, and you know it well. He says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. That covers everything. Every wound that you can experience in life, every hurt, everything inflicted by others, and even by yourself, things that you've inflicted on your own being. By his wounds, we are healed. So we apply that to our lives and say, God, I want that ointment for my soul. God, would you bind me with your healing bandages? I need your care. I need your love. Lord, I need living water. Because to let living water flow in our lives, you know, just being in God's presence is healing. Just spending time in His presence and letting living water just flow over you. Just sitting there and just knowing the beauty of His love and His grace and His mercy. Hearing His words spoken over you. You're my child. You're precious to me. I love you. If you could just hear those words and receive them. Healing is going to take place in your soul. And then when the Lord says, forgive those who've hurt you, let go of resentments of those who've despised you, and even causes setbacks in your life. Oh, it's easy to meditate on those things sometimes. It's easy when we meditate, we get angry all over again. And we just wish that maybe somebody would get a taste of their own medicine because it wasn't good. But that's not healing waters. That's bitter waters. That's stagnant waters. Those are diseased waters. They can even cause disease in our life when we suck on bitter roots long enough. So, you know, Jesus knew everything about the woman at the well. And when He got prophetic on her and said, yeah, I know exactly who you are, a woman with five husbands, and the man you're with now is not. And she is like, whoa, you know everything about my life. It's almost like He just pulled the veil off. He pulled anything that was hidden, anything that was in the dark, it's coming out into the light. She received it well. Jesus knew. But Jesus knew that we need to get all that junk out into the open. We need to get it into the light. Because that's part of what's holding you back in life. That whole identity, that whole brokenness. So there was nothing hidden, everything exposed, and yet she was invited to drink of the living water. See, the invitation was there. I know everything about you. I know all your wounds. I know everything about you. Now come and experience living water. Come and experience this in your soul. Sometimes the question is how honest and vulnerable will we be? When we're before God, do we hide things? Do we keep things in the closet? How honest and vulnerable will we be? It takes great honesty and vulnerability before God to heal. Of what's really going on in our soul, the brokenness that we have. But He wants us to bring everything to Him and surrender it and to lay it down at His feet. It's trusting God when we don't want to. It's coming into His presence when we're afraid that He might just pull out that stick in our foot. He might just touch the wound, the deep wound. And the reality is yes, He does want to touch it. He wants to touch the deep wound. But you see, He doesn't come to touch to hurt. He comes to touch to heal. And so this is where we have to trust Jesus, that He's the healer. He's the great physician. And if He's the great physician, we will allow Him to touch our wounds. And yes, there's pain involved when He touches the wounds. But we know when He touches the wounds, the healing process has begun. It's begun. He knows how to get us. The process, if it takes 81 days, then so be it. Let it take 81 days, Lord, of being in Your presence, of letting living waters flowing over me, of being honest and vulnerable, of allowing You to touch my heart. However long it may take for the wound to be healed. But you can know this for certain. It will be healed in His presence, by His touch, by His grace. It will be healed. So don't pull back, right? When Jesus offers His hand to us and He says, walk with me, we have to trust, right? That's a trust thing. Give me your hand. Let us walk down the pathway I'm leading. Now, there's sometimes what we end up doing is we end up in a tug of war with Jesus, right? Jesus says, we're going to go this way. And we're trying to pull Jesus our way. It's a trust walk when we follow him, though the road may be bumpy, though the road may not be easy. There may be some hills and some valleys. He says, trust me. Trust me. I'll take you where you need to go. I'll take you to living waters. I'll take you to green pastures. I will shepherd your soul. I will shepherd you. Even in the midst of all your enemies, when they're surrounding you, I'm shepherding you. I'm even setting a feast before you. We can't give in to fear. Fear says, pull back. Let go. Run back to our hiding places. I don't want to deal with it right now. It's going to hurt when the injury gets touched. So we have to trust God. Trust him as our healer. Are you ready to let go of some things today? I mean, you know, again, it doesn't have to be a deep wound. But if you bear forth any resentment in your heart, if you bear forth any unforgiveness towards somebody, it could just be neglect, right? Somebody didn't do anything to you. They just ignored you. They just neglected you. The love that they were supposed to give, they didn't give. The thing that they were supposed to do for you, they didn't do. They didn't protect you. They didn't do things for you. We forgive and we let go and say, God, be the person that I needed back then. Be the person that I needed from that person. That person couldn't be that for me. But Jesus, you can. And we receive from him. So come to him. Come to him with your whole heart. Don't leave any part of your heart hidden from God. He knows everything already, right? He just wants us to come fully out in the open. Thankfully, the woman at the well didn't hide. She said, you know everything about me. I guess there's nothing to hide. I guess I could just be open and honest. And then she went and told everybody in the village, this man who knows everything that I've ever done. And that brought her joy. As she, amongst other people, came and they listened to Jesus. They listened to the teachings of Jesus. Jesus stayed with them for 2 days and taught about the kingdom, taught about salvation. And they made statements like, we now believe what you are saying. He is indeed the Messiah. So are you ready to let go? To be fully vulnerable before God, leave nothing hidden in the dark. Giving up every right that somebody who hurts you, every right to revenge, every right to see somebody experience some of what they have dealt out in life. We leave other people in God's hands. We say, God, they're yours. Lord, bless them, help them. But Lord, they're yours. And then we surrender our lives to God. We surrender ourselves fully to the Lord. So what is God saying to you today? Some of you have experienced this exact kind of healing in your own life. You've experienced God helping you journey through healing. And God has helped you along the way. He showed you. He's spoken words to you. He's helped you. He's touched you. He's blessed you. He has let himself be known. You've felt the presence of living water flowing in your soul. You know what that's like. So you can attest to it. And you can tell others about it too. You can tell others about the God who knows everything about me. And yet he loves me. And yet he's here for me today. And he's loving me. He's my Father. He's my loving Father. And he's blessing me today. But don't let there be any part in your life that's not dealt with, no matter how small. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to him today. Trust it in his hands. That's God's heart. He wants to see the body of Christ healed, healthy, whole, abundant, living waters flowing. He wants that for you. He wants that for me. So can we just trust him fully today? As I pray, God's speaking to you, you know, just give those things. If it's just the act of holding out your hand and saying, God, I give this to you today. I don't want to hold on to it. It's a hurt. No matter how small, it's a hurt. I just want to surrender to you today. I want to leave it at the cross. Can you visualize that? And then the other thing I'm going to ask for is that I want you to see yourself fully healed, fully healthy, fully whole, full of joy. I want you to see yourself laughing, joyful, full of life. That you know that's who you are. That's your identity. That's who you are.